This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Rosemarie on Twitter, that is for you. Pearl Jam. We got it in on our Throwback Thursday. 1991, John Daly winning the PGA Championship at Crooked Stick in Indiana. We got to talk New York Mets baseball. They are red, red hot right now. Mike Puma joins us on the New York Post on a progressive guest line. How are you, Mike?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Mike, I've covered, I've been around a few cities, but I've never been in a city that has had two Major League Baseball teams vying for ink, vying for space, vying for the kind of attention. What has it been like with the Yankees, as good as they are but struggling, and the Mets, who have become this big national story about how good they're playing?
Yeah, it's kind of a throwback, something we haven't had much of around here in recent years. You know, the Yankees are, you know, pretty good every year, but the Mets have been down so much over the last decade and a half or so. So this is kind of a little bit different to have both teams, and certainly, you know, to have both teams on top like this. And until last week, the Yankees had the best record in the American League, and now here come the Mets charging just behind the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. So it's exciting here, and, you know, you have people, maybe some people dreaming of a Subway Series.
We have talked about this a couple of times on this show, about the influence of managers, and sometimes it's emphasized maybe a little too much, maybe not as much. With the Mets, is there a Buck Showalter feel to this team, or is it just, hey, we've got talented players and they're just playing?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, but, I think Showalter is certainly taking this thing to the next level. From the first day of spring training, he brought a credibility to that clubhouse. Players knew the name Buck Showalter. They know he's had success building teams throughout his career. So, this mix of players they have here is something special, but Showalter is kind of the cherry on top that helps take it to the next level.
What makes this team, offensively, let's just stick with that before we get to pitching and defense, offensively, people talk about their depth, people talk about getting hits in different areas of the lineup. What is it about their offense that has been so productive? Is it really depth? I mean, is it really as simple as that, or is there a little bit more?
It's such a long lineup. Other than the catcher position, and even that, they've gotten increased production lately from Tomas Nito specifically. But it's a long line. There's no easy outs, and these guys grind at bats. They make pitchers throw a lot of pitches. They get opposing starting pitchers out of the game early. So it's not a big home run hitting team. They get their walks. They're very good on base percentage team, and it's a team that's come through with those runners on base, hitting well with runners in scoring position.
Now let's get to the pitching. Jacob DeGrom just came back, took a perfect game into the sixth inning. There was a 13-month period of time between his last appearance in the majors until when he just recently came back. That's a long time. What was the process like for him going through the rehab, going through the minors, to a point where he comes back and it doesn't feel like he's missing a beat, at least from the outside in?
Yeah, I mean, with his latest injury, which was a stress reaction on his scapula, they were very patient with him. They were going to make sure that when he came back, he was ready. So, initially I think there was some thought we might see Jacob DeGrom in early June. They decided, we're gonna take our time here with him, and June became July, and ultimately became August. But the goal was to make sure when you got Jacob DeGrom back that he didn't have a step backward and have to go back on the injured list. So, and the thing that made it work was the way the rest of this rotation stepped up in his absence, and it didn't get to a point where it was like, oh, we really need Jacob DeGrom right now. The rotation was doing its thing, carrying the weight, and DeGrom's return has been an added bonus.
Give us an idea, and again, for those of us who live in markets that there's just one team that everybody roots for, tell us about this Subway Series that happened not that long ago, where they played these two games at Citi Field. Did the Mets treat it differently than the Yankees treated it?
I don't think the players treat it differently. You know, the fans, it's really the fans who get into it and treat it as a big deal. And they had two games at Citi Field a couple of weeks ago, and the Mets won both of them. Now they'll go back to the Bronx, the Yankee Stadium, in about 2 weeks, and they'll play two more games over there at Yankee Stadium. It's a good time for the fans to shout at each other and you know, chant about the other team. I think the players get energized a little more by the electricity that the fans bring. But as far as you know, playing the Yankees, playing the Mets, I don't think that factors into how they view it.
In terms of the way this team has been built, they've had good players before. They've gone after big free agents before. They're a big spending team. But are they finding the right combination? What is working that hasn't worked in years past with different kind of players?
Well, you look at what some of the players they brought in through free agency last winter, and it was a Starling Marte. It was a Mark Canha. It was a Eduardo Escobar. It wasn't the bigger names. You know, I think the fans were clamoring for them to go out to get Chris Bryant or Kyle Schwarber, two of the bigger free agent names out there. And the Mets kind of resisted going that direction. They had an approach they wanted to go with in the lineup for some of these veteran presence guys who see, and what we just talked about, guys who kind of grind at bats, guys who work the opposing pitcher, get on base. So that's kind of the philosophy they took last offseason. Then, you know, from the pitching front, going out and getting a stud like Max Scherzer, who was, you know, the best available free agent arm on the market. So, you know, Steve Cohen, he's worth $18 billion, whatever the number is now. He's not afraid to spend that money to improve the team. And they took a smart approach here in the way they built it.
All right, so this might sound like a simple question, but I know it has everything to do with looseness and comfortability. This team, nationally, there's a buzz now. It seems like they're having fun. We're seeing them the narco music, and everybody's dancing. Is the team having fun? Is the team loose?
I think it's been a loose team since the beginning here. A guy like Francisco Lindor and that clubhouse helps keep everybody loose. You know, the guy like Marte who came over is a guy who keeps it. You know, I think from the beginning it's been a fun group. And, you know, obviously with the winning comes more fun. But, you know, I don't think they flipped a switch at any point here. I think this is just kind of who they are.
I want to get to Diaz. We've been talking about it. I know a lot of other people around the country have been talking about it. When did this come about? This music, these trumpets, this dancing in the stands, this over enthusiasm. Has it always been there, and we're just catching it, or is it recent? Where did this come from? Because it's fun, man. It just to see it from the outside, it looks like a blast.
Yeah, and that's been his entrance music for a few years now.
So we're just now getting—we're just now joining the party. Those of us like me, living Nashville, just joining in now. That's awesome.
I think people are, people are starting to recognize now. Two reasons: the team is so good, and Diaz has emerged here as the best closer in baseball. He's had some up and down seasons with the Mets his first 3 years there. So now when he comes in, it's been lights out. You look at a guy who's averaging 2 strikeouts an inning here. It's amazing. So, yeah, I think the rest of the country is just catching on now because of how good Diaz has become.
It's fantastic. Mike Puma again, New York Post on the Mets. Really, really fun team right now. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us a little insight as we head to the stretch run of the rest of the season. Hope to catch up with you soon.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Again, Mike Puma, New York Post on the Mets. Red hot right now. They are flying. And really, this did start, to be honest with you, it started, if you really want to look back, go back to the end of July, towards the end of July, like the 23rd, 24th or so. It's when they played the Yankees in those two games. And he's probably right with the players, right? The players play and whatever, right? They play, and if they win, they lose. Yankees seem to downplay the two losses at Citi Field, whereas, you know, you got a guy like Eduardo Escobar hitting a two-run home run in one of the wins against the Yankees, saying it was like a World Series home run. But I think for the most part, you play the schedule, and the fans get kind of swept up in it, but you got to kind of keep a level head about it. But it, just the feeling that you were getting out of Citi Field was, here is this Met fan base was just electric to take these two games against the Yankees. Now it has started this a really amazing run. If you go back to July 23rd, 24th, right, the Yankees were in a position. They weren't just battling the Astros for the best record in the American League, which is what they're doing now. They were battling the Dodgers for the best record in all of baseball, right? They were 65 wins, and the Mets were not that far behind, but far enough. Now look where we are now, a couple of weeks later. The Mets, they've been a mess. I mean, the Yankees have been a mess. 6-10 in their last 16 games. The Mets are 15-2. They're 15-2. And now they've got the second-best record in the National League. They've got a better record than their crosstown rivals. Again, the national media has been focusing on the fun nature of this sport. And I said this earlier. I think there's something to look at in terms of the difference between the two organizations right now is that, yeah, the Yankees showed so much of what they were. They were a power team. They got a very powerful lineup, and they got good pitching, really good pitching. So the disappointment of this last few weeks, right, going on the road, getting swept by St. Louis, losing 2 of 3 in Seattle, losing 2 of 3 to Seattle at home before they went out on the road, right, is because the expectations were so high, you set them, and now we want you to hold on to that. So now we're looking at you with disappointment. And on the flip side, the Mets have been so Metsy over the last couple of years, making a mistake here, making a mistake there, batting out of order here, whatever. And now it's not that. It is guys having fun, guys producing, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor. He brought all these guys in that are in that lineup. Starling Marte, who we mentioned, plus Max Scherzer is on the mound. You got Carlos Carrasco is pitching well. Chris Bassett pitched well the other night. Jacob DeGrom is back into that rotation. So now you've got a team that's fun. They're young. They're exciting. You've got Edwin Diaz coming out to this music. Everybody's dancing. Compare and contrast that to a Yankee fan just looking at the team going, why aren't you winning more? Why aren't you playing better? I want you to play better. Why can't? It's not a fun time as a Yankee fan right now, and it's a blast to be on the flip side to be a Mets fan. But it's August. And when we get to October, that's when this stuff is going to start to matter. Fun teams going into the postseason can get caught up a little bit and lose. And next thing you know, the fun times are over. And teams that have gone through struggles like the Yankees are going through right now can get their act together and get back into the postseason and make a run and win a World Series. So today, the Mets are a big story, not just because of what's going on in the city, but again, they're making huge nationals. Like I said, he said that's been his entrance music for years. I just noticed it because I don't live in New York. I don't see it on a nightly basis. But it wouldn't matter what anybody's entrance music is or anybody's walk-up song is or anything like that if the team stinks or the team's not relevant. When you get these kind of stories where people are putting on putting it on social media for you to watch and follow, it's because there's relevance. Right, they just got done a series with the hard-charging world champion Atlanta Braves, and Diaz came into the game and mowed down their best hitters. So here comes the tweet, and everybody goes, oh my God, that's pretty awesome. Look at them. They're having a great time. Look at that. And now the national media is caught up. Not just me, but a lot of shows outside the New York area are finally going, unbelievable, that's so much fun. But people in New York City feel, people who have gone to games, they've known it this whole time. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.